When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Game Time Decisions off and running another hour here. I'm Joe Ranieri on the Sports Grid Network as we all try to come to grips with the idea of 7 months of non-football related activities. That is what we are in store for, but plenty of action on the hardwood as we get ready for the Sixers and the Cavs getting ready to tip off, as well as Indiana, the Pacers taking on Charlotte. Those will be a couple of games on the early slate, but there is a game coming up a little bit later tonight that our good friend Davis Manick might just have a same game parlay on. What you got rolling here tonight, Davis?
All right, guys, we are back to the NBA after the conclusion of Super Bowl 58 for our same game parlay over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We're turning to the marquee game of the night. We've got Nuggets, Bucks, and you guys already know I'm taking the Nuggets. I'm taking the Nuggets on the money line here against the Bucks. We're also going to take the over on 232.5. I just hate this Milwaukee Bucks defense. Adrian Griffin couldn't figure it out. Doc Rivers has not figured it out yet. I do not think that drop coverage for Brooke Lopez is going to work, and you can't blitz Nikola Jokic either. So we are also going to attack on Nikola Jokic to score 20 or more points. And then we're going to juice this up by taking Nikola Jokic to record two or more three-pointers. Obviously, that's not Jokic's best part of his game, but I do think it's a unique way to attack the way the Bucks are playing defense right now. This four-leg same-game parlay is going to give us plus 539 odds. Nuggets money line over 232.5. Jokic to score 20 or more points, and Nikola Jokic to make two or more three-pointers. Good luck tonight, everybody.
Oh, I love that. Fantastic stuff there, Davis. Matic, as we welcome in our radio audience here on this Monday, it is Game Time Decisions. I'm Joe Ranieri here on the Sports Grid Network. And in addition to that game there that Davis was talking about featuring the champs, the Denver Nuggets, we got a few other very interesting games coming up here tonight. Listen, Milwaukee at home as a dog is intriguing, but we also have the Golden State Warriors that have figured some things out, apparently, getting ready to take on the Utah Jazz tonight. Golden State getting it done since the return of Draymond Green. Can they continue getting it done with Steph Curry burying that three as time ran out, and only Kevin Durant over the weekend could just look and shake his head and laugh as Golden State got it done against Phoenix? But now Utah is what's up next for him here tonight. Coach James Young and I, we're going to go over that coming up. And then the late game, maybe one of the under-the-radar games here tonight, with the Minnesota Timberwolves taking on the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, I will say there was a rumor from sources that I have on the ground in Vegas that James Harden might have been somewhere in the Vegas vicinity last night enjoying the after party festivities. So then you got to wonder whether or not that those festivities will carry over into this game against one of the best defensive teams in the association, that being the Minnesota Timberwolves. There is no doubt that the Clippers, since December, have flipped a switch. You think the Kansas City Chiefs flipped the switch in December? Yep, no. A healthy Kawhi Leonard has completely changed the trajectory of this Clippers team, and they have just been rolling teams, except this is going to be a challenge here. I think for the Clippers tonight with Rudy Gobert trolling in the middle there. Zubac, I believe, is a go here tonight. But Gobert has owned this Clippers team over the last couple of seasons, which means not a lot of second chance points. So Paul George, James Harden, I mean, they just came out on a game where Paul George was 5 of 19. James Harden was 4 of 14. This is, and especially if we're doing a little festival of lights, maybe last night, enjoying the big game, this could be another tough shooting night for the Clippers. And if it is, I like the Timberwolves' chances in this one here. And then, of course, the Knicks, the New York Knicks, getting ready to take on the Houston Rockets, who, by the way, have been going through it. It hasn't been great for the Knicks. They finally came back down to earth, having lost three of the last four. But there was no team hotter after the trade, bringing Anunoby over. There has been absolutely no team better than the Knicks. And then the injuries started to pile up. Obviously, they've got... they're going to need to figure some things out here. I do believe Jericho Sims is back, but Harkinson is still a game time decision, questionable here as he's dealing with an Achilles, some sort of calf and or Achilles injury. So I don't know whether or not he's going to go here tonight. Fred VanVleet still out for the Houston Rockets, but it feels like having lost four games in a row, the Rockets have always been better at home. And even without Fred VanVleet tonight, if there's no big available for the New York Knicks, and I don't consider, Jericho Sims as a legit big here, I do think this is an opportunity with Amen Thompson coming into his own there for Houston. They got a lot of young guys that are much more comfortable on their own home court. They were getting four and a half this morning. This has already been bet down to 3. So Houston as a 3-point dog might be an intriguing spot, but we got to figure out what's going on with the injuries for the Knicks. Is Hartenstein playing here tonight or is he not? Because if he's not, that's going to be a tough sledding here for the New York Knicks. And like we mentioned, college hoops coming your way here as Duke and Wake Forest getting ready to tip off here. But top of the hour, that's right, 8 o'clock Eastern time, another Big 12 battle. And I think this is going to be a fun one, too. Well, I think it's going to be fun for one team as West Virginia is taking on TCU. Jamie Dixon and TCU. Looking to right the ship here and get back in the winning track. Listen, West Virginia is terrible. They're never going to be anything other than a second-tier team in the Big 12. Them and, unfortunately, my alma mater, Oklahoma State, are two teams that wish they were in any other conference outside of the Big 12 here. But TCU, I think they're poised for a big night. And we mentioned Kansas taking on Texas Tech. We've got news in this game you need to know before you run to the window and bet either side. But that at 9 o'clock Eastern time tip, that's going to be the game of the night as far as I'm concerned. So we'll dive into that one. We'll take a look ahead as we've got a lot going on now that the NFL and the season is over. The draft is coming. We'll talk more about it coming up next year on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, and we got some basketball on our minds as we get ready for tonight's slate. Underway, two games right now with the 76ers and the Cavs, as well as the Pacers and the Charlotte Hornets. But some of these games coming up a little bit later, as we mentioned. Pretty intriguing, and the man to be able to navigate our way here to front row seats into all of these games is the coach, James Young. When it comes to seats behind a bench, nobody's got more of them than Coach James Young. And Coach, let me ask you a question here about your New York Knicks tonight, getting ready to take on the Houston Rockets. Listen, Rockets have been going through it as well. Van Fleet still hurt. They've lost their last four. Knicks haven't been great either here. 3 of 4 as the injuries pile up here. The money has been coming in on Houston all day. This was 4.5, 5. It's now 3. Still don't know if Hartenstein's going here. It feels like maybe the Knicks are just like, get us to the All-Star weekend and let's get healthy and we'll worry about after that what's going on. What are you looking at in this game?
Well, things are out. Hartenstein is out tonight. Jericho Sims is in. Line has moved all the way to a plus or minus one or two, depending on where you can find the best number. Shop around, folks. I'm seeing FanDuel has the Knicks +1. The Rockets are +2 on Caesars. So shop around because there could be some kind of bet or bargain that you can find your way to. When I look at this game, you know, I look at a Knicks team that really, folks, here is the key. They don't lose to teams that are under 500. And I think that is something that says a lot about New York. So just because of that, I know they're injured, but they're also, Joe, one of the best teams on the road against the spread traditionally. Because their defense travels, I think Houston's going to struggle tonight. I am going to take the Knicks. Now that they are all the way down to -1, +1, wherever you can find it, I think the Knicks turn around and steal it tonight.
Ooh, liking the Knicks to get a steal job here on the road as the market is cratering on them here, Coach. Let's talk about, speaking of cratering, the season pretty much done for the Memphis Grizzlies here at this point. But they have shown flashes of, you know, maybe the market undervaluing them over the last couple of weeks here once the entire team went on the injured list there. But they're in a spot at home tonight going up against their nemesis there, or at least the Grizzlies' nemesis there, the Pelicans. What are we doing in this game? It feels like, listen, the Pelicans should win, right? I mean, that they should win, but does that mean they will win in your mind in this one?
Well, considering that the last time the Memphis Grizzlies was won was, I don't know, the 26th of January, they've lost, I do believe, 8 games in a row. They're getting beat every which way and sideways. I know Dyson Daniels was just out for a little bit, announced today. But this Pelican team, I do believe, is the better team of the two teams. It's quite obvious. And then looking at history, we see that obviously the 2 games earlier this year, the 3 games earlier this year, the last 2 were both won by the Grizzlies. So the Grizzlies won the last 2. They got nobody left. They've lost like 7, 8 games in a row. I know it's a lot of points. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the New Orleans Pelicans to cover the spread tonight.
Yeah, it's interesting, Coach, because you mentioned Knicks being really good with those under 500 teams. Pelicans have been really good, too. 17-5 straight up, 14-8 against the number with those sub-500 teams. So maybe this could be over before it starts. Maybe even New Orleans in the first half might not be a bad way to look in this one. How about, you know, this thing confused me here when it came to the Wizards in Dallas tonight, Coach. I'm not seeing a whole lot of craziness on the injury report, but the problem is, Coach, I'm also not seeing a whole lot of movement in the total. It's the highest total on the board, 247, 247 and a half. The Wizards, ironically enough, have been a pretty profitable under team over the last 10 games here. But if Kyrie and Doncic and those guys are in, and if Lively's not playing, we know Dallas ain't going to be playing any defense. It just feels like it's an over spot, but recent history tells us maybe the under is not a bad look in this one.
Yeah, that's what the spot is telling you. But at the end of the day, Kyrie and Luka are both probable tonight. And, you know, that is the key thing here. And Daniel Gafford has got traded to kind of help out the rebounding. Like, Daniel Gafford ain't making no goddamn difference in his game. Neither is TJ Washington defensively. Points galore, but I still think Dallas covers the spread. I would lay the points with Dallas. I know it's a big number, and I think the game goes over because I think Dallas could probably get to about 135 themselves, maybe 140 tonight.
Yeah, look at that team total, too. I wouldn't be at all opposed to backing Dallas to put the foot on the gas and just run it up for a $130 and change there. That's coming up at 8:30. Another interesting one, Coach. I mean, call me crazy. I think Golden State has maybe, it took them a little while, but maybe has figured some things out here, and they are playing some very good basketball. I thought that Phoenix game tells you everything you need to know about where the Warriors are. They fought and ended up getting it done against Kevin Durant and company. Now they take on the Utah Jazz, who I can't. Utah Jazz have so much firepower, Coach. How they lose games, it's just absolutely unreal with the shooters they have on that team. But they're about as inconsistent as they come. Do you trust the Warriors yet to go on the road and win one in Utah?
I trust the Warriors in this spot because I do think they're starting to play better. And let's be honest, when I say play better, I'm talking about Steph Curry. And he's been absolutely fantastic. And Draymond's been better as of late. But I'm going to go somewhere that's going to surprise people. Ooh. I'm going to go Klay Thompson over 21 and a half points, rebounds, and assists over at 8 of his last 15 games. Over the last two games versus Utah, not a strong defensive backcourt. If you look at Colin Sexton, the best defender, he's going to be locked in with Curry. So that means Jordan Clarkson, who ain't going to be worried about no goddamn defense tonight because he don't play any. Klay starts to get loose, and here's the other why. I think Klay may actually settle down because he hasn't gotten traded. He's in a contract year. Klay needs to end the regular season and possibly the playoffs on a good note because I don't know if he goes back, but he could be a sign-and-trade candidate to a contender next year. Klay Thompson over 21 and a half points, rebounds, assists. I'll say this. I wouldn't be shocked if he got it on points alone.
Ooh. I don't hate Lauri Markkanen on his own home court. That 24 and a half points here could very well find some success in this one. But I'm kind of with you. And as coach, as crazy as it is, we all think, hey, Draymond Green comes back, they're going to be better defensively. Does it shock you that they're actually much better offensively with Draymond Green as opposed to the other way around?
Well, when Draymond's engaged, he's outstanding. When Draymond's not engaged, go hide him in the basement and lock the door. Right now, you got an engaged one, and I think this is what they need, and that's another reason why I like them tonight. Draymond's starting to play a lot better basketball for the Warriors.
Yeah, well, he looks like he's got a chip on his shoulder now, which is a good thing if you are Golden State. All right, we got more games coming your way. We'll break them down next year in Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Coach James Young hanging out with us here talking some hoops. Couple of big games still in the NBA. And we've got a couple of games coming up in college that we'll break down. Big 12 action here tonight. And you guys will... you guys should know that Coach has basically shattered my Miami Heat dreams. Just blew them right up in the break there, guys, off record. We'll get to that in a minute. But, Coach, let's go to college here quickly because a couple of games that in the Big 12, you know, and I don't get it, Coach. You had it, the day after the Super Bowl, you got all of these eyes, people available to be able to kind of now start paying attention to college hoops. And you know, you basically gave us two games in Bethune-Cookman. So this is not really going to move the needle, except for maybe West Virginia TCU. West Virginia's atrocious, no defense. TCU, Jamie Dixon, you and I have talked about him. One of the more underrated coaches in the country. It feels like this has got blowout written all over it, or do you think that maybe West Virginia can go on the road and keep this thing closer?
What? They ain't keeping this game close. Listen, maybe this is my being upset that my guy Huggy Bear is gone from West Virginia, but if you really think about it, this West Virginia team, as you know, think about this. Their last game, they went on the road, they lost by like 2,000 points. No, it was about 26 to Texas. They lost to BYU at home by 13. Yeah, they got these quirky wins. Here's the thing. People are going to look at that game against Kansas where they went off nuclear and shot at over 53 or 54%. From the floor and got a 91-85 win and think that this team is like, oh, they're good. They are awful. They are awful. Oof. Jamie Dixon, his team is very good. You and I have talked about the fact that Jamie Dixon's one of the more underrated coaches in his generation. The fact that he did what he did at Pitt, and then he left Pitt to go to TCU and turn them to a bona fide top 25 team every year, going down there is a you-know-what. You just lost by 30 to Texas. TCU. I can't even get the Texas teams right. TCU is better than Texas. The line's 12.5. TCU by 20-plus tonight.
Oh, blowout city is what we're talking about in that one. Well, now let's go to the other side of the Big 12 here. Texas Tech at home in Lubbock, never an easy place to play. I don't care who you are. They have been very, very good at home. They have, they're better than what I thought they were going to be this year. Very tough team. This is just a terrible spot for Kansas, Coach. They're not good on the road this year. You know, they're coming off of a couple of very hard fought games here that they handled business. This is a tough spot to ask to go on the road again a couple of days afterwards to Texas Tech. There's a reason why Texas is what, a 3-point favorite here, Coach? Tech is. And do you trust Kansas to pull the upset off here?
You know, it's crazy because you're right. Kansas has been really bad on the road. Oh. And Kansas, as a favorite on the road, gets beat. But then I saw the line at +3.5. And I thought to myself, at some point, Kansas is going to get going. I do believe McCullers, if I'm not mistaken, is out tonight.
He's out. Yes.
So that is going to hurt them. And I will say
former Texas Tech Raider, by the way, we should mention. He was at Texas Tech. So
Right. And I think people need to talk about the job that Grant McCaslin has done this year. Oh. Folks, you don't know about Grant. Wherever he goes, he wins. I forget where he was before North Texas. He won there. And he's winning at Texas Tech, a team that was predicted to come in the bottom part of the Big 12. But this is one of these things as a coach. I feel like we're in the middle of February, and teams need to start making their move. Teams that have underachieved need to start playing better. I know they are, 19-5, but to me, Kansas has underachieved. I think they covered the spread. I actually think they went outright in an absolute war in Lubbock tonight. They need to get rolling. And if you think, and I want people to think about this, I think Kansas is like what, like 19-1 and they win the national championship? Mm-hmm. This team has got Final Four potential, right? When you look at Dickinson, when you look at Harris at the point. Now, the kid Timberlake, the kid from Towns, has got to shoot the ball better. They got to shoot the ball better from three. Abrams can play. I think that 19-1, if you want to jump on Kansas, it may be now, because if they win tonight in Lubbock, you're going to start to see that line, that number drop, maybe from 19-1 to maybe 15 or 14-1. You could lose $5 right there. I think Kansas gets the cover, and I actually think they're going to steal it. But safer way, +3.5, I'm going to take the points with the Kansas Jayhawks tonight.
All right, good stuff there. Limited slate in college hoops. Let's switch it back to the NBA here, Coach. Two primetime games coming up here tonight. One of them involving the Milwaukee Bucks. They got a new coach. I don't know if you heard this. Supposed to actually work wonders. I'm not sure that Glenn Rivers is actually interested in coaching. Not only have $40 million to his name, but they're not on the same level as Denver. Am I missing something here, Coach? I don't think they're even close to what Denver is.
No. It's Doug Rivers. I mean, what are we doing with that? I got under, you know, listen, I've been told I got to stop with the hot takes, and I got to focus more on my ability to be a coach. So I'm going to try him here.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Milwaukee is the fact that they can't defend dominant guards. You've seen what Halliburton has done. You've seen mm-hmm. what Brunson has done to them. So now they bring in Pat Beverly to try and muck things up. That's not enough to save it, because Pat Bev ain't getting 35 minutes a night. Dame still has to guard people. And that is the issue. It's not a good fit. And what they did is, Giannis got rid of the coach, got the guy he wanted, didn't like that guy, got rid of that guy. You had Terry Stotts, that was an assistant. Then Dame shows up, and then he leaves Terry Stotts. It's a mess in Milwaukee. I know it's on the road. I'm going to take the Nuggets on the money line tonight, but I will say this. If there's a prop I like, I'm going to look at Brooke Lopez, shop around folks. I see that at 16.5. I see that 17.5 points plus rebounds from Brook Lopez. He's gone over 11 out of his last 15 games, 21 combined in the last matchup versus the Joker. And this is what I want people to think about. Nikola Jokic is going to sit in the lane. He has to rebound to start the break, whether he brings it up himself or he outlets it. Brook Lopez doesn't hang out in the lane. He hangs out at the three-point line. So this is a style that matches up for Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez over 16.5, 17.5 shop around, points, plus rebounds. And if you can find his over 1.5 made threes at a nice number, I think he hits two.
Yeah, this is going to be a good litmus test here, because they're not often dogs. I think it's only happened one time this year, Milwaukee at home. But I think there's a talent discrepancy in this game here, too. So I'm with you here on Denver. I'm also, listen, I get it. Nobody has been better since December than the Clippers. But this is a tough game for them here tonight. At home, taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Gobert has had a ton of success over the last couple of seasons against this team. Zubac is there, but he's owned them. I'm either going under or I'm taking as many points as you want to give me. How are you looking at this game here tonight with the Clippers?
I'm not overanalyzing it. I'm just going to take the Clippers minus the points. You're right. They have been the best team in the NBA since the end of the year, or I should say the beginning of the year. So to me, I think this is a spot where it's a big test for both teams. These teams are tied in the Western Conference in the loss column. So I think this is a big game for both. And I just look at a team in Minnesota that's had some funky losses as of late. on the road. I think I do remember they lost, if I'm not mistaken, maybe at San Antonio a couple of weeks ago. They've been wildly as good as they've been. They've showed some inconsistent traits, and I think this is a spot where you could see a team in the Clippers at home drop the hammer on Minnesota. Minnesota, obviously, on this West Coast trip. So it could be a rough sledding for this first game. And if you look at it, they got to go at Portland tomorrow and then Portland again on Thursday. Maybe you get a young Minnesota team inexperienced, maybe thinking about the game tomorrow is an easy win, and they slip up. Ooh. Give me the Clippers minus 4.5.
Ooh, 27-6 straight up. 21-12 against the number in their last 33 games, Coach. That is what a healthy Kawhi Leonard brings to the table. And that's what you have gotten over the last 33 games with this Clippers team. So there is no doubt they are playing on a different level here. Good test tonight in the late game. That should be a fun one here. Coach James Young, listen, hook a brother up when you get a chance. Anything behind the bench at any game you want to send my way.
Seton Hall.
Done.
Dave,
we're there.
Come
Hall.
To Jersey.
Look for Coach.
Bring you.
He'll be behind.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. The Monday after, as we all try to come to the realization that no more football for at least 7 months or so here. We do have a draft somewhere in the middle. And for everyone that's a fan of any team outside of the Chiefs or the 49ers, you've been looking forward to this draft. Like a Jet fan, I've been looking forward to this draft since September, pretty much. So it's good that the draft is coming back. It's also good that we kind of get this little reprieve, Dave Sherapin. I can't imagine what your week has been like here, nonstop, kind of craziness here, you being on the ground in Vegas and all. Have you had any time to relax and breathe here today at all?
No, not yet tonight. And I just got a text that said, we may have tickets to the Knights in the Wild. The Flower returns to the Fortress. So yeah. I don't know if we're going to go down to that. But no, Joe, it was great. Are you back home already? You were up north and you were back home already?
Yes. Jeez. Yep. The deal I have is that I did. But the deal I have with Sports Grid is that if the temperature is below 50 degrees, I do not come. So it was actually a very warm weekend. I was able to fly up and get to hang out with Pharrell and Gabe and the guys there at the studio. But it's going to snow tonight. So first thing in the morning, I was out, totally out. And I understand you had some wonderful weather in Vegas, too. What was going on there?
The beginning of the week, to sum it up, Monday, Tuesday, media week, we're doing the shows from the – it rained nonstop. They didn't the sun was pick up on Wednesday, and it peaked out for a minute. People came here and thought, I don't believe this. It never supposed to be like this. It was like that. All it did was rain. It snowed up by my house. It snowed all over. It was bad. So getting around was a little interesting, but that didn't stop the hype and the dinners and the meetings and the interviews and the other stuff throughout the week. But the real story was Friday night. I don't know if you heard, Joe, but Friday night, Sam Yarnell sends out the bat signal. And not that I'm the Batman, but I could be, actually. I might have to get the suit and go back to that one more time. I dressed up like Batman for Halloween. I got the suit. I get the signal. I'm ready to go to bed Friday night. But you know how things roll in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait a sec. The boys are out? Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It's raining. We ain't going nowhere. And the flight don't leave till the morning. I said, I'll see you in 17 minutes. Shoes on. Downtown. Oh, yeah. Downtown. Circa was the beginning. That's where we met up.
Mm-hmm.
Made some connections, saw a guy about a thing, and got loaded up with some drink tickets. And the boys had cash in their pocket because all they did was work hard between Kofsky, Jack, Foster, Yarnell. Those guys killed themselves this week, that last week.
Yep.
They worked so hard producing on the sets, all this other stuff. They said, Dave, we're ready to let our hair down. There was a cigar. There was a walk-in.
Oh,
and Joe, know what happens. You stand at a table and start putting chips on roulette numbers. And Matias was there, too. Matias is wound up. Yeah. So things start happening, Joe. Double zero hits.
Can't believe you answered the phone. Hits, I just can't believe you knew what was coming.
Joe.
You knew it was coming.
thank goodness I took a nap before because I didn't know. And now I know. But they hit a couple numbers. The chips started to stack up. We made our way down Fremont Street. We hit the D. We took them at the D. We went back up to the Golden Gate and sat down together at a blackjack table, Joe. You remember what it's like when you sit at a blackjack table with all the boys? There's always one that takes it for the team. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Everybody can't win. Unfortunately, Foster took it for the team. But he was doing good. He hung as long as he could. But his foot got injured a little bit. He was fighting the pain. It was crazy, Joe. 4 a.m.
I still can't.
4 a.m., Joe.
Can't do it.
4 a.m. I
can't do it.
Hugged the boys. I said, I got to go. I ain't been the same since. Saturday, running around.
Cannot
because there's people
believe
here
you are still conscious. Cannot believe you're
Sunday
still conscious
game,
right now.
Crazy game. And then today I wake up. I honestly, Joe, I didn't know what day it was when I woke up today.
I'm saying, man. Woo.
Oh, that was crazy. It was a lot of fun, though. It was great to see the boys and everybody in person. Sports Grid did an unbelievable job
with
the sets and coordinating people. It's nothing but chaos. Mm. And I think what we all did together was kind of make it controlled chaos. Now, don't get me wrong.
Yes.
There was chaos, but it was controlled, minimal sleep. And then we get the game. What'd you think of the game? I got people telling me today, the game was boring except for the end. It wasn't a good football game. I thought it was a good football game, Joe.
I mean, it's, you know, I thought it was the game was one score the entire time. So it was listen, it wasn't, you know, 45-40. But the last hour and a half, I mean, that's what it's all you can do. Listen, we should be that bored every Super Bowl day. You give me that kind of boredom every Super Bowl. I am because, you know, what short memories we have of some of these games that we've had to endure and sit through over the years where you want to talk about boring. When the game's over, by the time we hit the second quarter, that's absolutely boring, and that wasn't the case. I would imagine the mood around the sports book managers there, and probably not when they saw it go to overtime, could they just hear dollar bills like just falling and bye-bye? Oh.
Yeah, so I reached out to a couple of my buddies is still in the business to come on to BVB today, and they politely took a pass because there was no real interest in discussing how things went because,
unreal.
You know, when a plus 950 or 9-1 prop hits, like, will there be overtime? Yes. That's one of those ones that they go, like you're sitting there in the third quarter as they approach the fourth going, well, if this falls and this falls, this could be tied. That'll win. We don't want no overtime. Nobody wanted no overtime, so they got the overtime. I heard that Caesars lost seven figures on a pro. Now, again, you can't control what people bet, but you can at least limit the risk. I would never allow ourselves to lose seven figures on a prop. But there was a lot of good props.
One prop.
And the prop handle is boom. Now, you know from back in the day, if the game falls like it fell, All-way teasers win. So it don't matter if you go KC up, San Francisco down,
don't
over, under, every way teaser won. So you're like, okay. Then game day, the total went from 47.5 to 47, to some books had 46.5.
46.5,
somehow.
Yep. Absolutely.
The last combination you think of for a football score is 25-22, which adds up to 47. Which falls
crazy.
47. And then the squares, Joe. The square pools, 5-2 is usually a donation. You're done. That's it.
It was 6-9 prior to that, if they would have just won it in regulation. Unreal. Yep.
Yeah. So I thought it was a great game. I enjoy that type of game where defenses kind of rule the day. The turnovers were great. I mean, the play, I think, that swung it for me, Joe, when it happened live, I couldn't understand why the San Francisco punt returner didn't let the ball go. But then when you saw the replay and you saw the ball.
It hit his foot, yeah. Yep.
Hit his teammate's foot. He had to go get it. He should have dove on it.
Yep.
But that one changed the game for me. I thought, oh, boy. And the other thing that changed the game was Mahomes throws a pick to start the third.
Yeah.
San Francisco don't get no points. They didn't get any points. Yep. If San Francisco gets a field goal, let alone a touchdown there, we may be talking about this game in that boring mode where it's done.
Yep.
I don't think they're coming back. San Francisco runs the ball and plays great defense and puts it away, right?
I thought the turnovers were moot. There were more turnovers. I don't know what that prop was, but I didn't even think to consider that because I did not expect the turnover fest that we had two apiece there. I did not expect the turnover fest we had, but if you're going to make the argument that the 49ers left points on the field with the turnover by McCaffrey, well, so did Pacheco. So it kind of wiped itself out there. You know, I threw an interception, you botched the punt. The difference is, of course, the punt, a couple of plays later ended up in a TD, but at no point, Dave, watching that game, did I ever think we should be sticking a fork in Kansas City? As bad as they were being out-physicaled and being beat up, and they were, the fact that it remained a one-score game, it just felt like you do realize 49ers, like, if you don't squash them, how many more chances are you going to give Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to beat you? And that's exactly what they did because they couldn't take advantage of any of those opportunities they had.
I thought before the game, if I was to make a play pregame, which I did not, San Francisco was the side. But as I'm watching Mahomes drive with an opportunity to win the game at the end, my whole house, well, my little one was rooting for San Francisco. She bet her sister, her mother, and her grandmother $5 apiece. And I told her, I said, if you win, you get to keep it. But if you lose, I'll take care of you. So I was basically backing her.
You were good. You were covered. Yep.
So I was like, I'm good. And I was watching it. And in game, I started betting the Chiefs. I was like,
oh, yes.
They didn't put them away. If they don't go win this thing by taking the ball away, the ball can't be in Mahomes' hands to end the game. We've seen it too many times. And so I was betting Kansas City in game. San Francisco doesn't make it on third down and kicks the field goal in OT. And I don't know about you, Joe. I was betting Kansas City again. I said, they're going to go down and win this game.
The second half, we were saying, all right. It hit in game, I think 4.5. Well, by the time we got to the in between, and I'm saying, all right, well, let's see if the 49ers win by more than 3 points. Let's see. I didn't think so. So I figured that was a better opportunity. As long as it stayed within one score, I don't understand why he held on to the two timeouts before the end of the first half, where it kind of felt, do what you got to do to get the ball back with the way they were playing and maybe get some more points because you knew Kansas City was getting the ball in the second half. A lot of coulda, shoulda, wouldas and what ifs for the 49ers. And unfortunately, they've got 7 months to figure out what the answers are that too.
Yeah. Basketball season now, Joe.
Yeah, all basketball. And you got plenty of it tonight coming up. Also, a couple of NHL games. Dave's coming up, top of the hour. We'll wrap it up next here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, that'll about do it here. Game time decisions on the Sports Grid Network. We got, get ready, plenty of action on the hardwood here tonight. Couple games on the ice here. And Dave Sharapan, Matty Peralt, they'll get you covered here for the next couple of hours before Gabe Morency live and in studio at the Sports Grid headquarters there. And that's going to be fun, too, because he's got a whole lot of stories to share with you guys coming up a little bit later here tonight. We are at the break with Wake and Duke Forest. I have no idea what in the world is going on there, as it is 29-27, Duke on top of Wake Forest, for two teams that can absolutely shoot lights out. We've got Wake Forest hitting 28% right now from the field, and Duke hitting 35, but only 21% from three here. So not exactly the greatest shooting nights here for Wake Forest and Duke, but second half is coming up. To be that poor at shooting the ball and still only being down two is a pretty good thing here for Wake Forest and the Demon Deacons. So that game is coming up. Don't forget TCU West Virginia. Also getting ready to tip here at the top of the hour. 9 o'clock, though, tonight, another hour from now, you will have, I think, the game of the night in college hoops with Kansas traveling to Lubbock to take on Texas Tech, the Red Raiders. We're going to learn a little something about this Kansas team here. This is a terrible spot. They have been terrible on the road, but can they turn the corner? Can they go into a hostile environment against a darn good team in the Big 12 and get it done? If they do without their best player, McCullers, then get ready. There is Final Four written all over this Kansas team. It's that big a game tonight. Should be fun. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Game Time Decisions. Until then, best of luck with your players. We'll talk to you again soon.